going to deal with a rather... It's an interesting subject. I've never had to deal with it much around here, and I've never really had anybody that is confused about tongues, but I remember losing bus kids to those churches that are all exciting and charismatic and speak in tongues, and they're all confused, but I'm just like, hey, this is a little subject that we can deal with this morning about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, particularly sign gifts, and particularly what tongues are, because we can find that the Bible presents us with a principle, and the principle is God's word is true, and it is the authority. And any area of life that we can identify, if there's an issue of confusion or concern, what's the Bible say? And we go to what the Bible says and accept it. So whether it be tongues, or whether it be teaching on salvation, or whether it be doctrines of the church, like baptism or the Lord's Supper, there's a lot of doctrines that the Bible teaches, but we just have to determine, what does the Bible say? So we're going to deal with that. We don't exactly have a starting point, but we are going to look at several passages of Scripture. The first passage of Scripture we're going to look at is in Mark chapter 16, verse number 20. So you can go ahead and turn there. And before we get into the Word of God this morning, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house. And Lord, you are a gracious God, and you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You've given us your word. You've given us truth, and we'd ask that you just help us to study it, and Lord, to depend on it, Lord, that it might impact our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you know what? When we start talking about tongues, we have to identify what tongues are, and that is that they are a sign gift. They're a sign gift. It was something that God had given, and there is a purpose for sign gifts. And that's what the first thing we're going to look at is Mark chapter 16. If you're there in Mark chapter 16, if we look at verse number 20, we understand that there is a purpose behind sign gifts. The purpose of them was for accreditation. It was that there would be a sign saying God is involved in this. God's put a stamp of approval, accreditation, approval. This is God doing the work. Mark chapter 16, verse number 20, the Bible says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Here we see the passage of Scripture. It gives us a clear picture as how they were used. They were used, and God confirmed the word through the gifts that he gave them. And we understand that they were given signs that those around them might see there is something going on here. You're not just flapping your mouth. You're not just talking a good talk. There is something powerful going on, and it is identified with the truth of God's word, and God gave a sign of approval. The purpose of gifts were for accreditation, for approval. These gifts, if we flip over to Hebrews chapter 2, these gifts either accredited or approved God's man or God's message. God's man or God's message. That's an important truth to keep in mind, because if we are aware of, and if we're familiar with, or if we are confronted with the tongues of our day, they've got nothing to do with God's man or God's message. And when we say God's message, it has to do with the written word of God. Many people will say, well, I've received a message from God. Well, what was the chapter and what was the verse? If someone believes them to have received a message from God, what was the chapter and what was the verse? Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 4, it says, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will, speaking of the men that spoke the word of the Lord. As we see in verse number 3, verse number 4, God bore witness with them, with signs, with wonders. The gifts that God gave, even the speaking in tongues, were given to prove that it was God's man speaking God's message. That's what sign gifts were for. And that's what tongues were used for. That was the purpose for them. It was to approve this is the work of God through a man that God has appointed or God has called. That's what they're for. But then we ask the question, who are they for? Who were they for? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this is one of the clearest passages of Scripture that presents us who tongues were for, as well as the other gifts that the Holy Spirit worked through his apostles in the early church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 22, it says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." We often use the statement that the signs were for a wicked and unbelieving generation. They didn't believe in God. They were so steeped in their memorization of the law and their following of the law and their following of the traditions that the Jews did not identify the Christ, the Son of God, as God, and they neglected to hear his truth. They neglected to hear his warning. They rejected him. So God gave them signs. No, this is the work of my hand. This is the truth that I am desiring to proclaim. This is, and that's what the signs, that's who they were for. They were for the Jews. They were for the Jews. The Bible says there in verse 22, the Jews require a sign, they needed a sign, and the Greeks, or we can say the Gentiles, seek after wisdom. I'll submit to you, James chapter 1 tells us, if you lack wisdom, ask of the Father above, he will give it to you. We got the Word of God. We got the wisdom of the Word of God. We got the mind of Christ. We need not seek after a sign. Many times, even I have, too many times I've been guilty of, God, if you want this to happen in my life, then do this. I'm like, no. I am to seek after wisdom, not a sign. It's important for us not to get into the realm of thinking, whereas we begin to think, I feel like this is what I am to do in my life. I feel this is what God wants me to do. Now we can say the Bible teaches this, and according to the Word of God and according to the truth of the Word of God, the decisions of my life are going to be made according to the Word of God. I feel like I should witness today is a bad thing to say, because tomorrow I might not feel like being a witness. Whether or not I feel like being a witness, by the way, which is obeying the Word of God, whether or not I feel like it or not, the instruction of the Word of God is to go. That's wisdom. And I don't need a sign telling me, Lord God, if you want me to witness today, will you send a robin to sing cheerful songs outside my window? Hey, we do that. We do things like that. We seek a sign. When really, we just have the wisdom of the Word of God saying, it's what you're supposed to do. They were for the Jews. Sign gifts are no longer necessary. Let's look at Micah 7. Micah chapter 7. I believe that's right after the book of Jonah. Micah chapter 7. In verse number 15. Micah 7:15. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, I will show unto him marvelous things. Now, it goes on to talk about a prophetical point of judgment coming in. But signs would only be seen in that passage of Scripture when Israel was in its land. At the time when Israel is in its land, sign gifts such as tongues would precede judgment, which occurred in what the Bible was starting to deal with there. That occurred in AD 70. Romans destroyed Jerusalem. Much scattering happened. The Jews eventually left the land. The sign gifts were for when they were in the land. Now, you can say, well, they're in the land now, but well, that's kind of beside the point. The point was the Son of Man came. Christ offered himself as an offering. The gifts were given so that God would authenticate the ministry of Christ and the ministry of this church. That was authenticated. God then proceeded, as we will look in here in a moment, gave his perfect word. You know, if we were to look at the chronology, the timeline, we'll use that word instead, of the giving of the Word of God, there's no biblical record of signs after the date when Israel left the land. All of the signs that the Bible records occurred in the book of Acts when they began to scatter. When the sign was fulfilled, the sign ceased. When God accomplished his purpose, he no longer needed it. So then we ask the question, what is the gift of tongues? So what is that? There's too many people nowadays that proclaim to use it and claim to use it. So what is it? Tongues, simply, if we just throw this out there, tongues are known languages. Tongues are known languages. And by known language, it is a language that a human knows. My tongue is English. When I go to Mexico, I'm not speaking in tongues when I speak my language. I'm speaking my language. They're not speaking in tongues when they speak their language. They're speaking in their tongue, their native tongue. Tongues were known languages. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 11, the Bible identifies that as the preaching of the word of God went forth, those listening, and then Acts chapter 2 gives us a list of people from different and various groups and nationalities that they heard the word of God preached. They heard it in their own tongue. Tongues are known languages. And also we were looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 22, the Bible gives us the thing, tongues were a sign of the unbelieving Jew. It was a language, but this was the act of speaking in tongues was for the unbelieving Jew, because if we were to look at that moment in Acts chapter 2 when the word of God was being preached and many believed and many were saved, those Jews were standing around watching all of these different nationalities coming to faith in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. One man or one group of men is preaching, and the only languages they knew was maybe Greek and Hebrew. And yet the Parthians and the Medes and all these groups of people heard the Bible being preached in their tongue. They heard the word of God in their own language. Were I to say that through the working of the Lord, I just have to go, whoa. God is busy. God is doing something. Whenever these gifts were used in the word of God, take note, it was for the propagation, for the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was not ever in the word of God for personal edification or personal use. It was for the gospel of Jesus Christ that it might go forth. As long as we're still flipping pages, obviously, we're going to get to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, but that's an important one to look at. Most of us probably are very familiar with that, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8. Another fact of tongues, when we speak of tongues, or what are they, we have to understand that tongues shall cease, or tongues did cease. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. The Bible says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. You know, if God did give tongues as a gift, the word of God says, if it's prophecies, they shall fail. Or the point of ending comes to them. Tongues, they shall cease. You know, tongues ceased a long time ago. If we were to continue on, verse number 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, the sure word of prophecy, it's come. That which is in part shall be done away. The only reason tongues were necessary is because God had not accomplished his inspiration of his word. His word is the more sure word of prophecy, and I say that because that's what he proclaimed. That's what he established. As he was preparing the hearts of his people, as he was working through the life of Peter and Paul, he chose to authenticate their ministries through the use of the gifts that he gave them. But the Bible does say tongues shall cease. Flip back a page or so. Actually, some of you probably don't have to flip a page. But we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And note this. The Bible actually places little emphasis on tongues. There are many people that place maximum emphasis on tongues or the use of the spiritual gifts that God gives. But in most instances, when I've been around people that believe in the use of tongues in ministering today, that is their, that's like the focal point. That's it. I've been around, I've attempted to witness to people that talk about healing and that have told me how they have healed people before. Of course, I didn't believe them. I thought they were delusional. It had nothing to do with the Word of God. Quickly. It'll be... Yeah, I sometimes ponder what heaven would be like. Yeah. But only three recorded, there's only a few instances throughout the book of Acts where we see the use of tongues presented. All of them had to do with the preaching of the Word of God and souls coming to know Christ as their Savior. The last was with an instance where people got saved and God authenticated that this is my ministry, but there's only three instances where that happened. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, we noticed, and I think this is interesting, when I see lists in the Word of God, I often prioritize what's on the first of the list. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 28, tongues are listed last throughout this passage of Scripture from verse 28, God sent some into the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. You notice that God is establishing an order here. God hath first apostles, then prophets, then teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments. And then the last was diversities of tongues. And by the way, diversities of tongues is talking about a plurality of languages. I am annoyed at those people that speak more languages than one, especially when I barely handle the one I do speak. And then some people, not only do they speak English, they speak something else. And then, oh my goodness, I was super annoyed at this one guy I knew in Oklahoma. See, Mexicans like to speak Spanish to you like, ha, ha, ha. So I retorted back in a short German phrase that I knew. I did not know he spoke German fluently. The Bible places little emphasis on tongues. And on top of that, Peter, James, John, Jude spoke in tongues, but none of them said anything about tongues in their epistles. Paul taught about it, but none of them spoke of their use of tongues. Paul identified what tongues were and set up parameters for tongues, but none of them proclaimed tongues. Tongues were not a part of their ministry. Dealing with that, we'll go this direction now. Even if the gift of tongues were for today, the Bible establishes strict guidelines for the use of them. Strict rules. It establishes how they were to be used then. And if God established, the Word of God established how they were to be used then, those rules would apply today. So I am not saying that the gift of tongues is used today, because nowadays we don't need the gift of tongues. Nowadays, if I need to go... Yeah, we got... Is it got Google? If we're going to go reach another nation, another group of people with another tongue, There is preparation and there is learning. In the book of Acts, Christ's earthly ministry had only been about 3 years. They were busy learning the instruction from God. They did not have time to go to language school. They did not have time to witness to someone and lead someone to Christ that spoke in that language. It was like now. Kind of like now is the accepted time. But if there were tongues today or the use of another language in a church, there is strict rules. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible begins to deliver to us what those rules are. Verse number 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. So if the use of tongues or languages in church were to be exercised, it is not going to be by a spiritual gift, but if tongues were used in interpretation at all, like someone interpreting to deaf, or someone interpreting to Spanish, or someone interpreting to the dummies. No. The use of anything is at the most by three people. And by course. You know what that means? Order. By design. Not flippant. Not all of a sudden, oh, it's my turn to speak. I gotta go do something. No, by course. You know, a ship has a course. And as you know, a ship, if you're going this direction, it's not going to all of a sudden go that direction. It can't. If there is a course, it is something that is set, something that is prescribed, something that is followed. Gift tongues, only three such persons are to speak. And also, as it establishes, they are to speak in turn. You are not going to have, as the Bible gives the guidelines, there is not going to be multiple people. And that is the problem that we'll see in those churches that try to adopt what the Bible says ceased, is because they are taking something that God said ceased, and they're twisting it for their own use, and they're not following the rules laid out in Scripture. I would have to ask the question, if you're doing it wrong, how in the world can it possibly be right? And then the very important thing says one person must interpret. Must interpret. Verse number 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. If there is no one to interpret, no, there's none. And I really do not care to watch the debauchery of those services that I've heard of. But what I can tell you, what I've heard of and what people have told me that are in that, they do not follow the prescribed rules of order. Only one person must interpret. And if there's not someone to interpret, there's to be no one speaking in tongues. If no interpreter is present, no speaking in tongues. You know why this is important? Two reasons. Number one, the Bible teaches it. Number two, when the Bible teaches something, it's an opportunity for us to follow what the Bible teaches. It's an opportunity for us to be aware of what the Bible teaches. There's an importance to that. If we're not aware of what the Bible teaches, how can we give an answer? We can't. There's too many. I mentioned this as we started. I remember very clearly going back and forth with a bus kid as he got older and the charismatics got their hooks into him, and he was hearing their teaching and their instruction and the twisting of Scripture, and he was getting all wrapped up into it. I felt horrible because we've had you for 5 years. That's plenty of time to teach somebody truth. We ended up losing that fella to Pentecostal churches. But if we teach And I'll make this point. The Bible's talking about this when it's talking about that. Right now, we're specifically looking at tongues. But this needs to be our approach to any doctrine that the Bible teaches. What does the Bible teach? What is it that the Bible is proclaiming it to be? How do I follow this teaching? Does the Bible give rules in the presentation of this doctrine? Because I can take any doctrine, remove it from the context of Scripture, and fall into the same trap. We need to be careful. We're going to drop down to verse number 32. Speaking in foreign languages is to be controlled. Listen to this statement. The Holy Spirit of God never takes anyone out of control. The Holy Spirit of God controls. Verse number 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The spirits of the prophets. You know, if I proclaim the word of God as it is giving this example here, the spirit of the prophet, the one that God is using to prophesy, his spirit is subject to the prophet. Do we say that in Scripture? Do we follow that? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. When God directs someone, he is directing them to function in the capacity that he has directed them to. He has not thrown them and said, just go crazy. Which is complete opposite of what we see the twisted version of tongues or prophecies. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. The Holy Spirit doesn't take anyone out of control. And there's another aspect to this that is important also. He's dealing with prophesying in church. He's laying down the rules for prophesying in church, for speaking in tongues. And in this context, which is often taken out of context here, but in this context, we understand this. Women are not to speak in tongues. Verse number 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. They are not to be a part of the prophesying or the proclaiming of the truth. Now, I have heard this, and I've seen this, and I've researched this. In our charismatic churches, men are not the prominent ones to speak in tongues. Women are. I'm like, they've taken the word of God, thrown it aside, we'll do what we want to do. I say that for this reason. What areas of our life, in the doctrine and practices of our following Christ, have we taken the word of God, tossed it aside, and said, I'm going to do what I want to do? When we don't learn the Scriptures, when we don't study the Scriptures, and we operate our life, that's what we do. I want to encourage you to this morning. This is an encouragement. Let the Word of God direct your way. Let the Word of God be the guidance, the guide, the authority. Because if we take the instruction, set it aside, whether it be tongues, whether it be all manner of our Baptist distinctive doctrines, if we let our tradition take over our practice, we've done the same thing that we'll accuse others of doing. So I encourage you this morning, don't set the Bible aside. Don't toss it aside. Stay faithful to it. There is extreme danger in seeking after sign gifts today. Satan is well able to produce signs and wonders. He is able to. Listen, do you know he can provide what we seek? If you seek wonders, oh, he can provide it. He can give you exactly what you want. But this is really the only thing that we should be seeking. this is perfect. Let's seek after that. The word of God has been delivered to us. We do not need spiritual experiences to validate God's truth. God's truth validates itself. And this last thought here is the truth of God's word validating itself in your life. Is it validating itself in my life? It will validate itself. How are we letting it do it? We'll have a bit of time, but we're going to go ahead and dismiss in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, for your love for us. Lord, I ask that you just help us today seek after your truth and allow your word to have free course in our hearts and our lives. Lord, that we might accomplish what it is that you desire accomplished. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.